Hey, all you wonderful people out there. It's good to be with you today. I'm Charles Abernathy, and this is my beautiful wife, Christy Abernathy. It is great to be with you today. We want to talk a little bit about managing emotions. I want to stress at the beginning of this episode that I have probably failed at this. Would you say you've failed some at this in some ways?
Today, for instance.
I mean, we all, I mean, there are a lot of things that affect our emotions. And while we are here specifically to talk about adoption and the emotional challenge that it is, because it is an emotional challenge, but it's like you in life, just in general, you deal with a lot of other emotions, whether it's with your children, your biological children, a job, whether it's with friends, extended family members, and
big events.
Big events. Yeah, there are a lot of emotions that are just attached to life in general. This past week, we had opportunity to minister to a family who was dealing with some very serious emotions in the loss of a son. And, you know, that's an emotional event. You're trying to help minister to people, encourage people, love people. But then those same emotions affect you personally as well. And so I only mention that to say, just in life in general, life can be very emotional. And as Christians, just in general, as Christians, we have to be very stable and balanced. And we need to manage our emotions. And that's what we're here to talk about. But the point that I want to stress is while we deal with a lot of different emotions, adoption is an emotionally challenging experience.
And the stability part is even more valuable and more needed in a situation where a home is, you know, grafting families, you know, people to individuals together with hard paths. So that balance is even more important.
I would say for me, just me personally, when I let my emotions get out of hand, I think a lot of times it's based strictly on, you know, respect factors, you know, a lack of respect, a lack of gratitude, a lack of control in some ways. Our belief system is, you know, the father is the head of the house. It doesn't mean that everything I say goes and you all have to bow down to me. That's not what we believe. We believe submitting to one another in the fear of God, with God as the supreme authority. A husband and wife are co-partners in this. But I would say for me personally, that's probably when I struggle the most with my emotions and not as balanced per se. Would you agree with that? Probably so. I think just from a biological standpoint, and I don't know this to be true, you know, I've read those books like Women Are from Venus, Men Are from Mars, you know, there's obviously biological differences between men and women. Would you say that maybe women are a little more emotional in one sense?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I think of the word emotions, I think of
women.
I think, yes. And the, like, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, not anger, bad emotion, but maybe more like, you know,
the feeling,
sentimental.
The feeling
that's
side
I think of,
it.
Of a woman, you know, women's
feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different emotions that we're going to talk about today.
Well, let's just name some emotions that, you know, anger is an emotion.
Right. Disappointment.
Disappointment is an emotion. You know, excitement is an emotion. Sadness is an emotion.
Anxiety
is when your emotions are a little, it's an emotion, but it can also, a lot of these things can get emotions out of balance.
Right.
You know, so there are a lot, joy is an emotion, you know. And the Bible talks a lot about the various emotions in life. One of the things I shared this weekend was from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you know, and in all of those experiences, and let me just go ahead quickly and pull this passage up. In all of those experiences with emotions, I mean, let me back up. With what the Ecclesiastes writer is saying about the time, different times in life, all of those times are connected to emotions. Mm-hmm. And so...
And that he beautifully points out the balance there, too.
Yeah, well, it is, I guess, I don't know if balance is... they are extremes in one sense. Like a time to be born, a time to die. Those are extreme. I guess that's the way I'm thinking of it. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, he doesn't say, let's talk about emotions. But he says, to everything there is a season. So there are various seasons in life. Well, one of the seasons we are experiencing currently, outside of the adoption aspect, you know, being adoptive parents, is we have a son getting married next Saturday, not this coming Saturday, but a week from this Saturday. We are officially going to be grandparents. How awesome of an emotion is that going to be? So excited.
Not the son that's fixing to get married.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Hallie, our oldest daughter, and her husband Hayden are expecting about March, is that
April,
right?
10th.
April 10th. Okay. Christy's always better with dates, like anniversaries, birth dates, even names of our kids. but nonetheless, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Think about the emotions connected in those two things. Yes, they are emotions, and I don't know if it's balance per se as much as it's just looking at the extremes. Yeah, a time to plant. You know, there's the hard work, there's the anticipation, there's the hope of planting, but then a time to gather in the harvest, to pluck what is planted. You know, the gathering of the harvest is an emotional, or the loss of a harvest is emotional. But I think it's extremes, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence. And man, that is so crucial in this discussion we're going to have today, especially when you're dealing with, because I'm probably not good at that one when, as I mentioned a moment ago, I feel like I've been disrespected or a lack of gratitude is shown, you know, or a failure to appreciate the family dynamic. I think I'm not good, but it reminds me of Proverbs 15 verse 1 again, which I need to just keep in my head and remember that a soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up anger. Yeah. Christy's smiling at me because these are, you know, these, when you're dealing with an emotional situation where emotions are high, you have to remember certain principles about scripture that God wants you to be a part of. And those aren't easily remembered during difficult moments. And let me say this for both me and Christy, we are not professional. We have failed in some ways with what we're going to discuss today, but I think what we will share shows how we manage, how we should be managing our emotions. And maybe this will be beneficial to those of you outside of considering the idea of adoption. Maybe it'll just be beneficial in general for managing emotions. But also a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. And so again, there is the challenge of in between all of those moments, the challenge in the middle is to balance or manage your emotions. I came across this article and I shared it with Christy. And some of what we will share today are things that we've just compiled together. For example, our social worker, Mallory, who has helped us with the adoption situation, with mainly with our international adoption, but also did the home study for our domestic adoption, with Joseph. She shared a lot of really good wisdom and words, but she sent us some articles, and one of the and you can get the at least this some of the stuff we'll talk about. You can get it from Lifeline Children's Services if you'll just Google Lifeline Children's Services. They are located in Birmingham, Alabama, although Mallory is our caseworker here in Texas, and she's located in the Houston area. She shared with us some really good material, and a couple of things that we will share will come from that. A couple of things we will share will also come from a couple of articles that I found dealing with feelings, emotions, and then also maybe how strategies on how to diffuse these kinds of arguments or these kinds of challenges. And I don't know how much we'll be able to get into with some of this, but let's just kind of jump right into it. I think we all need help to live by faith and not live by feelings. Right. Which one do you think we do more at times?
Well, we let our feelings motivate a lot of our actions, where sometimes we just need to take a step back and remind ourselves of God's word and not let it control our behavior.
Do you think that once you get a thought in your mind, I don't know how to express this properly, that it not only dictates your feelings, but it keeps those feelings going?
Right. It starts with what you're thinking. And then it can, the more you dwell on it, the more the feelings.
And it can become so real that, and not be true at all, but in your mind it can become so real. And I think that becomes the case with adopted children, I would say, because you know, their perspective is a lot about how they think, and specifically about how they think about the adopted family that adopted them,
the parents, on everything.
Kids, mom and dad, you know, and then once those thoughts get in there, it controls their behavior. And so it's a little difficult to deal with that because not only are you dealing with your own personal emotions, you might be dealing with emotions that are not based on facts and also a little bit out of whack from a preconceived mindset or a lot of behavioral challenges.
Yeah. Trauma.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we all need help to live by faith and not be guided by our emotions. You know, as Christians, I think it's just important to remember we walk by faith and not by sight. And when I say sight, really in this discussion, I'm talking about emotions because it is true that we're walking by faith and not by sight in the sense that we're depending on God. Well, God's telling us control your emotions, like don't be guided by your feelings.
It's almost like instead of being guided by your emotions, use faith and facts.
Yes.
You know, truth.
Truth in general, mm-hmm. Biblical truth, and then truth about the situation. But I think, you know, while we're supposed to live by faith, many of us choose to live by something else. And in this discussion, we're talking about feelings. You know, it could be living by pleasure or living by, I mean, you could fill in that blank in a thousand ways. But for this discussion, we're talking about specifically our feelings. And I think this is in a greater way true, more true with adoptive families. Than with biological families. Yeah, certainly it can be true with biological families as well. I mean, there are dynamics that affect the biological family. But I think when you're trying to, I think you used the word earlier, graft children into a home and graft a family with a child, those feelings can show up in a big way. Where you might, I would say that some of the feelings we personally have experienced, I don't know that we ever really experienced those until this situation. And I think that that's probably like feelings that you didn't know you could have or express certainly come to the forefront in these kinds of situations, especially dealing with adoption. And one of the things that I think we both set out to accomplish when we, you know, started doing these episodes was to be realistic with people, not to give like this pie in the sky. It's never challenging. It's always, you know, a piece of cake, and you're not going to have any struggles, because that's not reality. Now I would say we were probably naive in some way, not that we didn't believe that there wouldn't be challenges, but would you agree we were pretty naive?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
And so being realistic about all of this is certainly true.
The truth that love is the key ingredient and that love will conquer all and all that, that's true. And that's kind of, I think that was kind of our feelings going in, like, we can handle this because we're going to love enough to make it
work. And
because
love is a choice, and we felt like we could choose that regardless.
And that's still true, but you also need tools to continue to love and to continue to manage, you know, because it's more difficult than just saying, I'm going to love us through this.
Right.
You need some tools.
Well, and you need to be reminded of your faith, and I think that's part of what we're talking about here. Part of managing your feelings as Christians is getting back to faith, getting back to what God says and the way God says to do it. I will tell you, probably a struggle in some of the what you just said about choices and trying to work your way through it. You know, you can read an article, but how is that article? I mean, a lot of these articles are written by people who are not necessarily walking through this, so it sounds great on paper until you're actually in the moment, the reality of it. And that's part of the struggle I think we've had with is trying to be realistic and take advice and implement it, but at the same time realize that some of this might not really be pertinent to the situation.
Well, and out of all the, if you're researching adoption right now or doing education for an adoption, you're going to get all kinds of information, and it's good information, but the Bible is the best source for you being able to
overcome
the struggles. I mean, you can, a lot of this, you may get frustrated with some of the education because some of it just, it isn't realistic. It's like you said, it sounds great on paper, but you know, is it real? But God's word is true, and he knows us, he made us. And that's pretty much what you know, that's got to be your go-to to get through anything.
Absolutely. Well, let me read this. This is from Psychology Today. It says, emotions are at the core of our motivation. They are our muses. They are why we continue on with life and even in the face of disappointment or disaster. You may know many emotional people, and you may be one yourself. Being emotional is not a bad thing. The best thing to do when you are feeling like something isn't right is to check it out. Don't sit on it, push it down, or try to ignore it. Your emotions won't cooperate. Sometimes the only way out is by getting into the feelings and first look at how you might be creating them. Combine them with some gentle, not accusatory, questioning of the person or people whom you believe may be the cause. Look for truth. And this is kind of what you were saying a moment ago. Facts, truth, whether it's biblical or fact-based on the situation. Look for truth and be open to see how it's possible that your feelings may not be accurate. It also can be helpful to get an outside perspective from someone you trust. Well, the truth is we do have emotions and feelings, but sometimes those emotions and feelings are not accurate. And I think that that's the whole reason why God tells us to live by faith and not by feelings, is because, so I'm going to put Christy on the spot here and ask her in front of her husband, did you ever feel like when you were younger you were in love with someone else?
Oh, sure, lots of times.
Little boys
starting in kindergarten.
My wife was in love with someone else in kindergarten, so how do we deal with that? No, but was it real?
That took some time.
Yeah, you took. She stole my joke, because my joke always is, if you're younger and you feel like you're in love, just take some Tums. It's probably just heartburn or stomach ache, you know, and you'll get over it. You know, but because emotions and feelings, someone said once that you don't base your salvation talking about biblical salvation experience through Jesus and his death and resurrection. Know you're saved by what you feel. Because it's not, because someone say, I wouldn't take, a stack of Bibles this high for what I feel in my heart. But you feel you're saved by what you know. It's based on facts. It's based on truth. And this is kind of the idea that we're working on, living by faith and not being led by emotions. And why does the Bible, I mean, what does the Bible say about emotions? Well, we know we have them. I mean, even Jesus had emotions, didn't he? What's that, that we always say the shortest verse in the Bible is John 11, verse 35, which is probably true in the English version of Scripture. You know,
Jesus wept.
So my wife has been a really good Bible student in her life. You know, she's got this one down. Jesus wept. But actually, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4, or I should have looked this up beforehand. But actually, the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament is rejoice evermore.
I did that one too.
Let me say it. I should have let you say it. Yeah. Yeah, so
I may have the wrong
reference there. With I do have the wrong. It's not. I'm looking at the wrong th here. It's not the one I said. But rejoice evermore. The words of Paul are the shortest words in the Greek New Testament. But both are emotions. But to the point, even Jesus, in his physical fleshly body, had emotions. You know, he was sad at the loss of a friend, family's grieving.
That's a good example of how he was not motivated by that emotion, though, because he took his time to let God's glory be shown there instead of rushing to the scene
with emotions.
Right.
Even though he had them. He controlled them. He managed them. That's a good point. She is good. I'm glad she's sticking around. She's going to leave in about 8 minutes, though, I think. Is that right? So it's possible to manage these emotions and use the gifts God's given us because Jesus is showing us that example, right? So if he's our perfect example and he's able to control and manage his emotions, then shouldn't we be able to? Why do you think we don't do it as often or as well as we should?
Well, I mean, it takes discipline. I mean, this study was good for me because, you know, it's not like you sit down and think, well, am I being motivated by my emotion or, you know, the truth? I mean, that's just, life just gets in the way, and the way you feel does motivate you unless you are disciplined to take a step back and think about, you know.
Even though things can be true, you still can control your emotions. You're going to have emotions even toward truth.
Right.
So, but you can control them, I mean, for sure. And to Christy's point here, and I think this is important for you all to know as well, like, it's not like we just say, okay, we got this topic figured out. Let's talk about this in Adopting Abernethys. I mean, preparing and studying for these segments, these episodes, probably are more beneficial to you and me in the sense of preparing for it than it is. I've heard people, and this kind of makes sense because I've heard people say you grow more or you learn more when you teach because you have to prepare for the class. I would say that's been true for us. Talking out and studying through and sharing
things through and finding scriptures that really, really relate to them. I mean, there were so many scriptures that stood out in this study that
you want to share this verse from Philippians chapter 4 verses 6 and 7 as an emotion that talks about being careful with your emotions. I mean, a scripture that talks about being careful with your emotions.
It gives you two things that will really help you control your emotions. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and with thanksgiving. I mean, those are two keys right there.
Prayer and thanksgiving.
To let your requests be made known, and then what's the result? The peace of God, which is really beyond our understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.
So that's
great.
So Paul says, don't do this. Like, don't be anxious. Let me just stop here. So before I go any further, that when we look at a passage like this from Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, we're not talking about medical issues. We're talking just about it in general in life. Medically speaking, there are people who struggle with anxiety. And that's like any other illness. That's like my diabetes. I can't control it unless I take medication. That would be true for people who are medically struggling with anxiety. So we're not really talking about that. But just in general, like with these situations where we're letting our feelings get the best of us and we're not walking by faith, Paul says, don't do this. But then, like you said, he gives you two things, just pray and be thankful. And those are two really good qualities to let God's peace rule in your heart. So that tells me, does this also imply that if I am not prayerful and I'm not grateful, then I'm going to be anxious and God's peace won't
be
there?
I'm going to be missing out on something
on
God's going to give me, yes.
So maybe another question is, why does God give us emotions?
Well, that's interesting to me too, because when I first was studying this, I didn't immediately come up with the answer. I'm like, I mean, if we can't use them to act
help us,
on,
yeah, yeah.
Then why? Why do we have them? But then if you think about a life without emotion, is just so bland. I mean, part of just our human nature, it can be a great motivator as long as we're coupling it with the truth.
Well, I think about this. I think about like when you see children or women or people being abused, what's an appropriate emotion?
Anger.
And if you didn't have that emotion, now we're not to be guided by it. I mean, in one sense, now we can use it. It makes us angry. And so we know this is not an appropriate response to human life. And that could be, you know, guided by other, you know, using laws and protection for people. But if you didn't have them, you know, everything would just kind of happen.
Yeah, like if you didn't feel, you know, if you didn't feel guilt over something you did, then that would be, not a good predicament. I mean, you need that guilt. You just need to couple it with the truth and work towards, you know, what's better.
Repentance. And
your behavior needs to be responsive.
Change.
Of some emotion with the truth.
Right. So Proverbs 16 verse 32 says, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So does that imply that you can rule, you can control your spirit, in this particular context, your anger, but when you're having these interactions with your children, your adopted children, what comes to the forefront? Probably anger, you know, raw emotion. And here the proverb writer is telling us you can rule over that.
Mm-hmm.
Like God gave them to us, but he also tells us we can control them. So he didn't give us something to be guided by in one sense, and he didn't give us something that's out of control in a different perspective.
Right.
I mean, they just need to be managed and balanced.
And you also need to see what the source of your anger is, because in family relationships and dynamics, I mean, a lot of times I'll become angry with something that I shouldn't even be angry at. When it's something that I need to be angry about, I need to be slow to anger, and I need to find a way to deal with it, and I need to, you know, find a solution. But if it's a lot of times, if I take a step back, I really shouldn't have been angry about it. It's really it was just petty or whatever, you know, like,
but
a lot of times you can just let,
but that's your thoughts,
mm-hmm.
taking control of your feelings,
right.
And letting your feelings, you're living by feelings and not by faith,
right.
which again, God gave us these emotions. Like for example, in Proverbs 28 verse 26, it tells us if we trust in our hearts, we are fools. So if we trust our, you know,
our feelings.
Yeah, our feelings. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. I mean, it's not in man to direct his own steps, but that also implies it's not to let our feelings direct our steps either. But he gave them to us. We just have to. He wants to guide us, not
right.
our feelings,
right.
not our.
To be the guide. That's right.
He wants to. Guide us and the opposite side of maybe some of this negative side of feelings is the beautiful side of feelings, the positive side, because how many of do you like moments of love and happiness and joy and peace? Well, those are all emotions too. And so, you know, we get to share our feelings. I think one of the reasons God gave us the emotions and feelings is we get to share them with others. You know, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. You know, both the negative and the positive. When somebody,
and it creates a connection. That's, you know, we're always talking about connecting. I mean, emotions can create a connection when you share those.
So when you think about gifts that God has given us, God's given us His Son. God's given us Himself. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His, which I would also say, you know, the Spirit has given us the Word. He's given us families. But this gift that we're talking about, emotions are a gift. Because you can share with your physical family, your friends, your spiritual family, the church. You can share these emotions. I mean, so God gave them. And I think one of the reasons He gave them is because they are to motivate in us a response to humanity. Don't abuse humanity, you know, like with being angry over abuse. But He also gave them so that we could share in these emotions, you know. So are feelings reliable? Are they the determining factor?
No.
No?
I mean,
They're not always reliable. Now, there are exceptions. Feelings can be right. Like I made this assumption. I got angry, and it was, the facts were that, you know, that was something I should have been angry about. But that doesn't, but since it's not always the case, they're not reliable. You know, again, have you ever thought something about someone and you thought, that person is such an awful person, and then you realize that that person was nothing like that, and they didn't even do anything close to what was being stated, and you develop this viewpoint? We're all guilty to some extent of that. I mean, or again, back to the kindergarten love, you know, you've got this feeling or emotion, which at age six, you feel is so spot on and true, you know, but feelings are not reliable. You know, I would say this is true for salvation. Like a lot of people, because they feel like they've experienced a salvation experience, it's not based on truth. And so they're letting feelings motivate or determine the way that they think instead of truth. And so that's why they're not reliable. And again, the Bible tells us that to live by faith, not again by feelings. But maybe, and the way that this article that we read put it, I loved it, the wording of it. Emotions are a gauge, not the guide. You know, they can tell you where you are. They can give you a feeling from some fact base or truth by way of response, but they are not the guide. So who is the guide, or what is the guide?
Well, God and His Word.
God and His Word. Any comments here? Think about this passage from Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What are some of those things connected to? They may not in and of themselves be this, but what are they connected to?
Are you saying like the effects of good emotion?
Well, positive emotions. Positive emotions. And so isn't it interesting that, have you met a pessimistic person before? What would you honestly say they're guided by? Negative feelings, negative emotions. And what's God telling us? Because He knows that about us. If that's the way you think, then change the way you think. Because the way this starts out, think on these things. If there be any praise, think on these things. Because your thoughts are what determine what you think. Now, that brings us to this other passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5.
I love this one.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I think this, because there is a context for this passage. Let me say that up front. We understand and know the context of this passage, but the principle and the application of it, I think, is also important. So we're just kind of extracting that out of this context. But here it is, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Is that possible?
I mean, it must be, and it's definitely difficult. But he's telling us that we can hold our thoughts captive. We, you know, don't let them run wild.
So sometimes the way you feel can determine your actions, but he's saying get your, because if the, and I think back to the Philippians 4 verse 8 passage, if we're prone to think negative, Paul says direct your, because it's the same author, Paul's writing to the Philippians and he's writing to the Corinthians, but he's saying if you can control your feelings, think on positive things, because that's going to control your outlook. It's a gauge. Now, it's not the guide, but one of the things he says is the determining factor to our feelings is the way we think. And that was what I was saying at the beginning of this segment. The way we think controls how we feel. Mm-hmm. So what should you do?
Control your thoughts.
Control your thoughts. I hate to tell you this, but my wife has to go. So I'm going to take her seat right here in the middle, and I'm going to finish the rest of this on my own. But she has to pick Joseph up from preschool, and in about 20 minutes, I've got to head out to pick up Madden from elementary school. So we're going to be heading in two different directions here in just a moment. But again, I think the important thing is this very idea about controlling the way you think. And again, Fortune 500 companies in general, spend a lot of money on how to control or determine the direction of their business. And a lot of it is based on getting educated on how you think. You change the way people think, you change action. You change the way people think, you change feelings. You change the way people think, you can change the course or direction of a life. And so again, when we're talking about adoption, because it is true that this is an emotional experience, we have to remember that God wants us to control those emotions, because we're supposed to be walking by faith and not by feelings. And I'm afraid what happens, I know it has been the case with me personally, is that sometimes I'm walking by feelings and not by faith, but that's not what God wants me to do. God wants me to honor him. He wants me to be in a good example for his son, Jesus. And he wants me to live my life based on his wonderful word. Again, controlling the way we think is absolutely essential as we're discussing this by way of adoption. Again, this is connected, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul's talking about encouraging the brethren by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but here it is, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does he mean when he says by the renewing of your mind? You know, I think it's connected to this 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5 passage. It's you know, bringing your thoughts, bringing your the way you think into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Your will is no longer your will anymore. It's Christ's will. And we're going to be conformed to his will. And the way that we are conformed to his will is through what we think. You see, the way we think determines a lot about how we feel about people, how we feel about family, how we react in certain emotional situations. And so, again, I will tell you, I have failed in this even as recent as this past week. Sometimes, again, I think the biggest failure that I have is I let my emotions be dictated by how I feel, whether I'm being respected, whether I'm being appreciated, things like that. But again, you know, there's verse after verse where God is telling us to make sure that we choose him, we choose his way, we choose the way he wants us to think. And Christy mentioned it a moment ago, and we didn't get to touch on it much. But one of the things that Christy shared a moment ago was, this is a discipline. And the way that I would share it is, and I've used this illustration before at church, is I used to play basketball, and I would at nighttime on occasion, I would get into our high school gym. I would just leave it at that. All the lights would be off. I would be in the gym, my high school gym, by myself. And I'd be sitting there, and I'd be shooting free throws in the dark. And I just got to where I would just shoot those free throws in the dark, time and time again. And what I was doing was I was developing muscle memory. Now, I don't think at the time I knew that I was developing muscle memory. But when the game is on the line, or when emotions are high and you're tired, your legs are a little weak, you're exhausted from a full game, and you're at the free throw line and you need to be shooting free throws to help your team advance or win, you want that muscle memory to just kick in. You want it to be just a normal response, something that you've always done to try to remove the emotion. Just, you're going to get up there and do what you've always done, even in the dark, 1,000 times. And the whole point of that is to not let emotions get the best of you. And again, I would say that this, using this concept of controlling your thinking, controlling your feelings, managing your emotions, based on knowing what God's word says and letting that shine through. And again, I have failed at this. But it needs to be muscle memory. It needs to be, okay, I need to recognize that there are some things here that I need to control. One of the concepts, and I'll kind of close with this, one of the concepts that we read, and Chrissy and I both really liked, talked about how to diffuse a fight. Now, I really believe that this article and context was written for married couples. Nonetheless, I think it helps with these situations. Now, again, I'm telling you, I have not mastered this, but I'm working on it, and I'm trying to control my thoughts and my emotions, and I think that this is a good strategy here, okay? So just a couple of things, just to mention them and not to get too heavy or detailed in them. But number one, get to know your triggers. Like what I said about myself earlier, recognizing a fault or a struggle. Like mine is, if I feel like I'm being disrespected. Well, if I know that that's a trigger, then when I feel that way, I have to try to remember, okay, I know this is a response to my feelings about gratitude or about respect. So I have to use that as muscle memory. So let this is a trigger here. I know this is a trigger for me. And I'm identifying this as something that really gets under my skin and it gets my emotions out of whack. And when we understand, I think the point is, when we understand our triggers, you know, we can control it, be more disciplined in it, or we can recognize and express a word of sorrow, or, you know, just by simply saying, listen, I'm sorry I snapped at you that way. You know, it doesn't mean that it wasn't a valid situation. In other words, the facts may be true. It may be disrespect. It may be ingratitude. But my snapping, my irrational response is not what God wants. And it's not the appropriate thing to help the relationship. So I will tell you that just recognizing your triggers is key. And I love that part of this article, just, you know, or trying to get more control of your emotions so that you can phrase things in ways that, because again, that Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. Figuring out how you can soften things up with your words to get a better outcome. Okay. So number one, understand your triggers. Number two, have a signal. You know, when things tend to pop up like this, maybe maybe the signal is Christy to look at me and just, you know, smile or nod her head or, you know, or just hold her hand up or, you know, just do the little, you know, don't do this. This is not, just having some signal like Christy, when I get like this, please just subtly let me know, you know, and then that way, you know, you can learn to be more disciplined and control your emotions. But having a signal, so not just you recognizing your trigger, but your spouse recognizing your trigger, and then being able to give a signal that understands, wait a minute, need to take a deep breath, count to 10 or 200, whatever works for you, and then try to be better in those moments. And then the third thing is just, you remember what your mama used to say, right? You know, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And so when you recognize the trigger, wait a minute, she just attacked my authority, and she has no respect here, and she's ungrateful, or he just said something that just made me furious because it shows a lack of respect in some way. Then what has to happen is you've got that signal, but then you just have to remember, what's the point of saying ugly things? What's the point of making someone feel bad? I don't know that I necessarily say ugly things, but I think in dealing with situations where a lack of respect or ingratitude is expressed, you know, I'm wanting them to know what just happened and what they just did. And in some ways, I think I want them to feel bad about that. Well, saying something in that way or with a negative demeanor, it's not appropriate, you know. And again, you have to, there's a whole list of things that we could talk about, you know, about controlling the tongue according to James chapter 3. You have to be willing to control your tongue, and a soft answer turns away wrath. Harsh words stir up anger. But I think the fourth thing in this article that we read was just allow do-overs. Understand that you need to give benefit of the doubt. This is probably the biggest one I fail at. I don't know that I say harsh things that are mean. I might say harsh things to make someone feel bad because they just made me feel bad. But I think the idea of, we all like that when we were younger in elementary school or when we were playing on the playground, right? You know, strike three. Well, I want a do-over. I want another. Give me one more chance or one more shot, you know. Well, that is something that's needed in these circumstances when your emotions are out of control is, you know, realize that the other party has emotions that are out of control too. So if both of you are thinking irrationally when you're having an argument or you're dealing with emotions, especially with an adopted child, is to remember that it's not good that everyone has emotions out of whack, because then, you know, all of the things that you're trying to accomplish or she's trying to accomplish can never be accomplished because your response. So learn to take captive your thoughts. Determine the way you think based on how God wants you to think. Consider others better than yourselves, looking out for the interest of others, not only for your own self. But remember, these emotions God has given to us, but he's given them to us as a gauge, and he wants to guide our lives, not to let our emotions guide us. I hope this in some way has been beneficial to you. Again, I just want to encourage you, if you can support digital Bible study, they're making it possible for you to have the opportunity to hear episodes like this and to hear gospel meetings by way of evening sermons and things like that. If you can support digital Bible study, connect online gospel meeting, then certainly feel free to do that. We encourage it, as a matter of fact. And also, if you think this is beneficial to someone, share it on your personal page. Get the word of God and some of these practical lessons out there to more people so they can benefit from it. Again, we encourage you to continue to, you know, do the best that you can. Shine bright. Get more information and education about adoption. And if it's something that you can personally do, then we encourage you to do it. And if you can help someone who's going through an adoption financially, we encourage you to do that as well. If you can just offer encouragement or support or help to an adoptive family in some way, then do that as well. But thank you for tuning in today. We hope you continue to have a great, great week.